Ladies and gentlemen, fighting out of the traditional personal finance corner, he hails from Princeton, New Jersey, USA. He is the Sultan of Saving, the Count of Common Sense. Let's get ready for Practical!
Frank Sasso here, hosting the Practical Guy podcast. I'm here with none other than the Mr. Practical Guy himself, Scott Newman. Hello, Scott.
How are we doing?
I'm very excited.
So am I.
He was sitting in a room. There were four people here. So it's very exciting. And I want to thank you, number one, for always being so open and candid about the financial industry and just wanting to help people. You're a breath of fresh air. Fresh financial air.
That's what we try to do.
Amen.
And today we're changing up things a little bit.
We are changing up things. We have my beautiful wife, Christina, here with us. Hello, Christina.
Hello.
My wife and I normally do a podcast as well with our ministry, which Scott actually will be a guest on very shortly.
Yes.
Anyway, how are you feeling?
Great.
Now, you just taught some exercise classes today.
Yes, this is a good segue.
It's a good segue.
Yes.
Now, if you already read the title of this podcast, you probably already figured out that we are here with a personal trainer. Personal trainer, not in the financial world, like Scott. Scott is your financial personal trainer.
Oh, I like that.
You like that? I just made that up.
Very good.
My wife just fell in love with me all over again. Mr. Alex Obey from PTS Health and Fitness in Skillman, New Jersey. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Now, you were introduced to us actually today by Mr. Scott Newman. How did you guys know each other?
I am a member of this gym, and I'm a member because, you know, everybody thinks being practical, number one, is being cheap, which it isn't, or that I would never make a mistake with money.
What are you saying?
Wrong answer.
Dude, you're ruining my whole image of you.
So we do make mistakes, and we learn from them.
Okay.
That's part of being the practical guy.
Well, I would hope that you're saying that joining here wasn't a mistake.
No, dude. As a matter of fact, I just signed up for a year because I learned a valuable lesson.
Which was?
You don't always take the cheapest way out of the gym.
Explain.
I was a member, and I, as a gym, you can see the way I look, but most people can't see.
You have an incredible body.
I'm the Nautilus poster
child. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
And Alex, looking at him, people, but actually, you just look at him, and you think you're on steroids. It's like, and
I'm not,
muscles,
by the way.
He has muscles in places where I don't even have places. So, let me get started with him.
He is. You're like, just looking at him and you're on the juice, man. But when I got a gym, I would just look and say, what is the cheapest? You know, okay. What's the cheapest? For instance, I look at it, you do this, I'll go 3-4 times a week. And, you know, it worked out for the most part because, you know, I didn't take it very seriously in doing that until one day when I went to the gym and doing some fundraising, and I ended up talking to them for an hour.
Okay.
Well, unbeknownst to me, I had left my cell phone on the table there. When I went back, the cell phone wasn't there.
Oh, no.
So I went to the front desk, and, of course, everybody was on their social media, talking to people on Facebook, doing this, trying to get a date for Friday night. And I'm sitting there, hey, guys, my cell phone's missing. Can I check? Well, you probably misplaced it, which is usually the case.
Oh, yeah. Like,
okay. So I said, well, let me take a look. 5 minutes later, I came back. Listen, the cell phone's missing. Meanwhile, they had a lot of people there that weren't members in the gym. So I said, okay, guys, let's... At least, can you give me a hand looking for it? Well, don't worry, you'll find it. Meanwhile, they're back, you know, getting more likes on Facebook or you know, whatever. And I'm sitting there, and I couldn't get anybody's attention. So finally, after 50 minutes, I'm like, I actually walked behind the counter and said, okay, guys, could you give me a hand? Well, what are you doing? I'm like, listen, you had an episode here. I'm not saying, okay, let's not let anybody walk out. Cell phone, everything. Then I said, can we call the police? Well, we're not going to call the police. We have to call the owner. Meanwhile, 10, 15 minutes go by. I'm getting a little upset because I'm like, well, guys, could you help me? And the only person who would help me would actually the woman who cleans up the gym. She's very nice.
Okay.
And we were looking around. Meanwhile, again, they couldn't be bothered. After about an hour, they refused to call the police. And I just exasperated, went home. About 45 minutes later, they called and they found my cell phone in the toilet.
Oh, no.
I don't know if this was a hate crime or, you know, against the practical guy.
Or probably some Wall Street.
So finally I said, I tried to call the owner. Well, the owner, it's a Sunday. He isn't taking calls. And I said, well, what is he, in the Obama administration? I go back there. I go, like, this is this. So finally I reach him. He goes, well, what do you want me to do? And I go, well, you had some other people here. You know, what are you going to do? I go, because the cell phone, it's gone or whatever. And I said, well, are you going to do anything? Well, no, that's your loss. He says, but I will run the cameras and see what happens.
Okay.
So would you give me a call?
Right.
Okay, we go, and still, 2 days later, he hasn't called. I call the gym. Well, no, he's not taking calls from you. To make a long story short, this guy refused to do anything. Again, I understand that I offered to split the cost with him. And essentially, if you had somebody responsible at the front desk, and not that I'm sitting here, that's your loss, but that actually addressed the problem and did that.
Sure.
And what it turns out, again, he is running it, like a lot of people do, as a mill, as an investment banker. You're putting minimum wage people at the front desk who are running it while he's an absentee owner. And if something happens or do it, you know that the gym isn't run the right way.
Right.
Now, am I paying twice probably what I would pay for at PTS here, rather? Yes. Enjoy it here. People are friendly. And I know you have people who are professionals who have been there. And I think that's really important for people to take a look at, whether you're the recreational gym user, because I've never been accused of being on the juice.
So you take your phone out of the toilet, you dry it off, and you give Alex a call.
Isn't the big difference too that Alex is the owner?
Yeah,
and he's here.
He's here.
And he's in shape. Because if you own the gym, I question it.
But most of the time, again, when you are, and we talked a lot about in business that it's really a commodity, the gyms to most places, and you get a sense. Again, here, and again, I was not paid to plug PTS, but most of the people have been here more than 4 or 5 years, and that's important in anything to do that. So the practical guy learned one of those practical guy lessons about going the most inexpensive way out is not always the best way. Even, you know, most things couldn't do anything for this body. But you don't always go the cheapest way.
Okay.
And I thought today, which is interesting, is there are a lot of people out there now, as I laugh, I deal with all the kids who have student loan debt. What do? I'm a personal trainer.
Right.
Okay, well, how did you become a personal trainer? Did the student loan debt cause you to be a personal trainer? Right, right. Did you grow up at six and say, I'm going to get student loan debt, and then I'm going to be a personal trainer to pay it back? How do you go and actually know, number one, to find out how not to get taken by a personal trainer?
Yeah.
Or number two, is it a good investment to hire a personal trainer rather than someone, let's say, who's looking at me and saying, well, it's an extra expense. Why should I do that?
No, good question. Good question. I think with personal training, to a certain extent, you can liken it to bartending. You know, if they're in a transition, like with you know, kids coming right out of college, or people who are transitioning out from one industry to another, and if they're not quite sure what they want to do, they're like, well, I like fitness, I like working out, you know, I guess I could be a personal trainer, you know, that kind of thing. And they don't realize that it's a business, you know. At the end of the day, it's not working, you're not working yourself out, you're working with other people, and in many cases, you're working with people who don't like to exercise. So you have to not only help them with the knowledge, but then you have to motivate, encourage, all of that.
Sure.
And for a lot of people, they don't have that side. Like, for them, it's intrinsic. So working with others doesn't necessarily come as natural, you know, to them, and they don't make good trainers, you know? And then so quickly, it's like, all right, well, I'll do this until I go to something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And same thing with, like, bartending, where it's like, oh, I like drinks, you know? So, you know, I like the party, you know? So they're doing it, you know? And they do it for a little bit until their real passion or what they really want to get into comes out. So you got to be careful and aware of that kind of a thing.
You look at sports teams or whatever, and you have college basketball coaches, and they're fat. And
right.
These guys are overweight. Would you ever hire a fat personal trainer?
I've hired one trainer in my life who was completely outside of the mold. I'm not looking for models. I'm not looking for people with perfect bodies. What I am looking for is authenticity. And in our industry, there are a lot of people who don't live the lifestyle, and I'm very passionate about that. So you find trainers who smoke. To me, it just doesn't make sense. You're telling people to live a healthy lifestyle, and then you smoke yourself. It just doesn't make sense. You find people who don't exercise, who don't do that, but yet, you know, they stand in front of their clients, all right, this is what you need to do. Well, if you can't do it yourself, then why should, you know, what credibility do you have? So I'm really passionate about that. To answer your question, yes, I have hired. I hired one trainer, and he was someone who was into fitness himself, but struggled. He had a lot of things going on in his life, so he struggled as far as, like, you know, as we all do, balancing, you know, fitness, nutrition, and all this and that. And he, at the time, was a mechanic, a diesel truck mechanic, and spent a lot of time with them, but he just didn't like the lifestyle. He didn't like what it did for him. He didn't like, you know, kind of the culture going around that, and he really wanted to transition into training. Well, I tell you, when you looked at him, you know, he had a lot of things going against him. Like, you know, he was shorter and he had a belly that was pretty distended there. And he said it, he's like, yeah, I know I don't look the part, you know, but he's like, I have the knowledge. So I started asking him questions and really getting into it. And I was like, wow, not only he did absolutely have the knowledge, but he had an amazing personality. And in our time together, I connected with this guy. And I was like, I know he's really trying to make a change in his life. And I know that he can make a change in others' lives. When I hired him, he became one of my most popular trainers. And I think people related to the fact that he did have the struggles. Like, he did struggle, you know, trying to attain his goals, you know. But he wasn't off the wagon. He just struggled with it. And when he became a trainer, he got in better shape. But he never fully crossed the line, at least while he was with me. I don't know where he is right now. But that's the one time I really fully went out on a limb. For me personally, I do like to hire trainers who are fit. Not models, not perfect, who are fit and live the lifestyle.
What are your drop deads? I mean, obviously smoking. What else could someone do?
Smoking is an absolute no. I had one candidate. His resume was spectacular. He looked pretty fit. I just, in our interview, I generally broached the question of, you know, cardio, like how he feels about it. And he's like, I don't believe in cardio. And I was like, well, I mean, you mean you do just a little bit? Or he's like, no, I just don't believe in it. I don't think it's necessary. Now, you know, I mean, everyone has their own, you know, philosophies and things of that nature. But for me, that was something, like, I believe in a balance. So when I train myself and when I train my clients, I try and balance, you know, have a balance between strength and cardio. I believe in being strong, you know, being as strong as you can be. But I believe, like, your heart is your most important muscle. And cardiovascularly, if that's not fit, you know, it doesn't matter how good you look on the outside.
Right.
Once that stops working, that's, you know, game over. So for me, there has to be a balance as far as, you know, strength, cardio. I don't lean one way or the other. I try to find people who are balanced in that philosophy.
That whole thing about the trainer being, you know, having the thing, belly and the whole thing, I mean, that, but also being very popular, that could go either way. It's like a double-edged sword.
Absolutely.
It's like he's out of shape and he doesn't know anything.
Right.
But he's telling everybody what to do.
Absolutely.
And yet, he's out of shape, but he's an incredible motivator, an incredible encourager. He knows a lot.
Right.
And he's very relatable.
Right.
That could have went either way then.
Absolutely. And the thing is, and I don't want to say, and I think when you had made the point before of, like, when you see a lot of coaches who are out of shape themselves, and there is a difference. I mean, to be a leader, in many cases, like, you need to assess the situation, know what tools you have at hand, and play those, you know? And you don't necessarily have to be fit to do that, you know?
Right.
You can do it from the outside. But for me, if you have that knowledge, and you can be fit as well, too. Because there's a lot of, you know, I mean, if you talk to people who are, like, either soldiers or workers or whatever, who are underneath someone in some capacity, there is always that respect where, like, he or she has been there before. They know what I'm going through. If they can say, they've never been there before, he's never done a push-up before, she's never done this, automatically that takes a little bit of your credibility away.
Sure,
not saying they won't follow you, not saying they won't do what you want to do, but if you can have all of those traits and say, I've walked your shoes, I've been there, I mean, I think that's the package right there.
That is absolutely key. The big thing is, you could know all there is to know about fitness and nutrition and all that stuff. You can know it all. But if I get the feeling as a potential member that you don't care about me,
right,
I'm not going to care how much you know about anything.
Absolutely.
So it goes back to that old thing of people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
Would you say, because I know my wife can definitely attest to this, Christina, you teach at multiple gyms, group fitness. Mm-hmm. Well, how important would you say it is to get emotionally involved almost to a point where you have a relationship with your members?
Well, I'll speak for myself because of my own personal experience. For me, it's the most important thing to connect with my members. Most important thing. Because I truly have to love them at some level. And because I love them, I want to see them succeed. And whatever that means to that particular person, whatever their success goal is, it might not be, I want to be wearing a bikini and run a marathon. It might just be, I just don't want to have pain when I get up in the morning, or I want to be able to walk around the block and not feel winded. I mean, whatever their level is, I want them to feel successful, and I want them to feel that I really do care about them.
One of the red flags, would you agree, that they should watch out for is that, does the person seem to care about them?
Absolutely, definitely. I would say it's a red flag. But, you know, you also want to watch out for the overly friendly trainer as well, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're definitely, the client-trainer relationship, it can be a very delicate one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times if you're dealing with people, especially if they need to lose weight or they feel, whether they need to lose weight or they feel they need to lose weight, but you're dealing, in many cases, with people who are in somewhat of a delicate emotional state, and as a trainer, you're basically in a position of power there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person is looking to you for guidance. You know, as they start to trust you, then, you know, sometimes emotional bonds can form there, which is fine to an extent, but you just want to be careful where there are trainers who I know who are predators, you know. They look for those situations mm-hmm. because that person is vulnerable, you know, and things happen. You also want to go with your gut and your instinct, you know, like, does this person care for me? Do they seem like on the up and up, you know?
Like there has to be a boundary.
There has to be a boundary, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
One of the things we like to do on this show is to go behind the curtain.
Yes.
I mean, you've been doing this for years, and I have what I call the red flags to ask your financial planner, your mortgage guy, your insurance guy. How would you know if a personal trainer is going to take you? Is just about the money or to do that? Obviously, you would have questions to ask. What did you tell our audience?
Yeah, I guess the first thing, if you go into a club, if you were looking to hire a trainer, I would ask, who are your trainers? You know, are they nationally certified? Like their certifications, and then
are there special certifications?
Okay, so going behind the curtain, you could go online now, Google, you know, training certification, and some site will come up. You can pay $99, and now, bam, you're a certified personal trainer. You know. There's a lot of nonsense and garbage out there, you know. There are main certifications, like nationally accredited certifications.
Like, what would that be?
So, your main one that you could be hired at with most gyms, which are good certifications, I would say NASM, National Academy of Sports Medicine, ACSM, American College of Sports Medicine, NSCA, National Strength and Conditioning Association. They have two certifications. They have the CPT, Certified Personal Training, and Certified Personal Trainer, and the CSCS, which is more geared towards like sports, but Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist, and then ACE, American Council on ACE Exercise. Those are four main certifications that if your trainer has that, it just means that they've been certified by a nationally accredited agency and that they've at least done their due diligence from a knowledge standpoint. Doesn't mean they're a good trainer.
At least we know they went through the steps of taking the test.
Absolutely.
The other ones, you can just go on the internet for not...
There are a lot of ones, and they may have never gone anywhere and just, you know, in the room paid $100 and literally they got their certificate, they printed out their certification, you know, which is absolute garbage, of course. If you had one of those four, most respectable clubs would hire you as a trainer, or at least interview you for the training. But then the next thing I tell people this is, you can have the paperwork and your resume could look stellar. You could still be a lousy trainer. Training, it's an investment. I mean, you know, depending on where you are, you're spending a few dollars on this here. So I always tell people, like, if you're interested in training, either one, buy the smallest package that they have, you know, so like, you're not overly invested, you know, and if they say like, oh no, you have to buy a year package up front, you don't want to be there. You have to buy a month package up front, you don't want to be there. There should be something like, you know, a 5-pack, a 3-pack, something like that where you can spend a few dollars, see, is this month, you might just turn out, you don't like working with someone else. You might not. I mean, whatever it may be. So do that.
So if somebody wants to lock you into a long-term thing, you're saying...
Back up. And then the third thing I would say is, if you can, observe. Like, I have clients, like, they're like, oh, I'm thinking about training. Whose style do you think of? Come in at the times where you think you'll be training, and then watch the trainer train other people. And when you see that, you might see like, wow, I really like the way that person is with that person, or that style's not really, you know, for me. But sure. You see them in their element.
Okay, so if the person, like Scott, he's coming in, he wants to capitalize on your motto of, we specialize in making every pair of jeans your favorite. What they should keep in mind is, number one, they want to look for a trainer who has the NASM, the ACSM, the NSCA, and the ACE certifications, actually the two certifications of NSCA. Also, not to be locked into anything long term. Get the smallest package if they can. Don't stand for getting some forced package on you. Get a 3-pack or a 5-pack. Don't feel pressured.
Right.
And the last thing, number three, is to just observe.
Right.
Just to take the time, watch how trainers are. Maybe pick one that you think, you know, you would like, and then see what you can do with them.
Absolutely. Yes.
Is it as simple? Let's just say somebody says that's a certification or whatever.
Is it?
Somebody just says, here's my certification. Do you just go home and Google it and realize you can get the same thing for $99? Is that the way to do it?
With the fake ones? Yeah, you could do that.
Right.
But with the other ones, with the reputable ones, you can go to the organization and look at it and see whether they're really certified with
the
organization.
But a way for someone out there is just to say, hey, this person has this certification, go Google it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And say, well, $99, maybe you print yours out and say, I have the same certification.
I was in the class after you.
Some of the things that we've noticed, there's some people out there who are thinking about, well, I'm not going to get a personal trainer because such and such. Some of the reasons is like one of the myths, and if you can dispel this or back it up, I don't know, is that people think, I'm not getting a personal trainer because it's too expensive. Is that true or not?
Well, I'm going to say this. I mean, spending money on a personal trainer, it's more than coming in by yourself because you're getting another service. But then I put it this way, depending on what gym you're at. So, a lot of gyms, I mean, unless you're at one of the, low budget gyms, which I consider like, 10 to 20 bucks a month, most gyms you're probably going to be spending around $55 a month, like $45 to like $75 a month. Depending on, what the gym is. Now, if you're going and you're spending that per month, but you don't know what you're doing,
right.
How effective is what you're doing while you're there? You have no idea.
Right.
So if you're spending anywhere from $50 to $75, a session with a trainer, let's say you're meeting with them once a week, yeah, that's a few dollars there, but that time, if the trainer is good, it's dedicated to you. I mean, you're actually accomplishing something there. We're not to make stereotypes or generalizations here, but in general, in the gym, when people walk in, guys tend to go to the weights, women tend to go to the cardio. Like, that's what generally happens there.
Yeah.
And so for the guys, they stick with what they used to do in high school, maybe college, and then women want to stick with the cardio because they, in many cases, want to lose weight. And not realizing the cross-pollination that needs to go with both. So, like, a lot of times, like, if you see people who start heading into the weights, they're not quite sure what to do, so you see them pick up a dumbbell, do a couple curls, maybe something with the side here. They really don't know what they're doing, but they don't want to look embarrassed, and then they do that, and then they get out,
Pat pulls in a drive-by workout.
Right. they do a little something, and they're like, in their mind, they're like, all right, I just did my weights,
Right.
But if they were with a trainer or, someone qualified, they would show them, like, look, this is what you do. And so, fine, you're spending a few dollars, but then also think about it, like, how much money do people spend on coffee, on a daily basis? Like, how much of those specialty cups or things of that nature?
Right.
Let's break that down. Forget about smoking. Don't get me started on that. But a pack of cigarettes are what? $8? $9? Think about how much you're spending,
But like an investment that pays off later.
But after cigarettes. So I just say you're going to spend a few dollars, but in many cases, that money's being spent elsewhere. And if you spent it here, you're guaranteed for that hour, half an hour that you're working with your trainer, that's a qualified session. Like, you're really getting the best
thing. Absolutely. And it is an investment.
Yeah.
I mean, there's three things you can do with money. Spend it, invest it, or waste it. I mean, but that is definitely an investment. You're investing in yourself.
Absolutely.
Okay, so another myth is all they do, meaning the personal trainers,
mm-hmm.
sometimes when you see personal trainers, it just seems that they're just standing around and telling the person what to do, and it looks like they're totally disinterested in actually what that person is doing. Like, are they texting? Are they on Facebook while the person is working out saying, oh, do 8 more reps or whatever? I don't know.
One of those, dog and master relationships.
So what do you say about something like that?
Well, you definitely, like I said before, there definitely is a position of power thing that comes there, and you want to be careful. I had a trainer, probably one of the mistakes I made when I hired this particular trainer is I kind of picked up on the edge just a little bit in the interview, but everything else seemed good. And it was really one of those things where you can tell he just liked being in control of people. Like, he just wanted to, and it was that whole master thing you just said there. I mean, it probably couldn't have been any more, precise with him. He just wanted to control. And the relationships that he had with his clients, he was very popular, but in a way, he controlled them, and it ended up not working out with us because that's not the style that I like to create here. When I'm working with a client, for half an hour or an hour, I definitely do expect that in that hour, I'm going to have a plan for you, and I want to do this plan. But with that, I always start the session the same way. Are there any aches and pains, anything I need to know of? Like, I have a plan for you here, but did something happen since last we saw each other that's going to have to allow me to, like, change this up a little bit, you know? Like, if you were doing something in your, you know, some yard work or something like that, and then your lower back is bothering you, then all right, you know, these exercises might be out, or maybe we'll focus on this, you know, that kind of a thing. So there definitely is a relationship, and there needs to be communication between the parties. When you talk about the whole board thing, there are some people who have been doing it for a long time, and they probably shouldn't be doing it anymore. They probably have lost their passion. They start looking at things as, you know, just sessions. All right, I'm making $50 here, I'm making $100 here, this and that. And each person now has become a dollar sign as opposed to a person who you're trying to help them with their goals. And that's easy to spot. And it comes back to the observations that I talked about before. Observe the trainers, you know? Like, I'm not saying someone, a trainer may not have a bad day like we all do, but in general, if a person is into it and they're into their client, you can see that. You can tell, like, they're not just counting the number. They're really engaged in that session. And that's obviously the most important thing. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to feel like, one, you know, you want the benefits, but two, no one likes to feel like, wow, they just checked it. I was just another notch, you know, for the day.
What's a fair price to pay for a personal trainer?
In this area, I mean, consider the Central Jersey here, you could go anywhere from like $50 to $75, $80, you know, like in a club. If you're dealing with in-homes, it might even go a little bit higher. You know, you might get like $65 to $100, somewhere in that range. Much lower, I'd probably question it, you know, and much higher, I think you're probably paying too much.
Here's a person who is like, yeah, I'm going to hire a personal trainer because if I do, I will instantly reach my goals. How do you feel about that? That's,
you know,
a whole other way I'm coming.
So probably one of the big things that I get, the biggest questions I get, is people saying like, all right, so if we started working, like, how long will it take me before, you know, I lose, you know, 20 pounds? And I'm like, well, geez, I mean, we could work. I mean, like, what does that mean? I mean, are we working once a week? Are we working twice a week? What are you doing on the days that I'm not, you know, working with you? Like, if I work with you twice a week, what are we doing on the other 7 days? You know, I mean, it's a huge question. What are you doing? I saw a client. She was a client of the club, but not a client of mine. And, you know, she had just gone through a really tough session with her trainer and everything like that. She'd wanted to lose a lot of weight. And I'd never seen it before. She, you know, finished her session, got into her car, and then lit up a cigarette. And I was like, holy cow. And I was like, all right, well, just killed, you know, $50, $60 right there.
And then you'd be the guy she's saying, oh,
training doesn't work for me, you know? So it's one of those things where it's like, if a trainer promises you results, like, right away, like, oh, you're going to lose 10 pounds in, you know, in this month, I mean, I would just be very wary of that. I never make a promise to anyone. I say it is possible. It's absolutely possible, depending, you know, how much you're dead. I had a client come into the club one time, and she literally, the only thing she changed was I give her credit, she didn't do anything as far as like artificial, but she drank natural soda, like real soda, and I think she drank, it was like 6 or 7 cans a day of soda, like straight Coke.
What?
Like not diet, like regular Coke. I told her, I was like, let's just start there, like, you know, let's eliminate that. In 3 weeks, after eliminating the soda, I think it was 16 pounds she was down.
Are you serious?
Just off the Coke.
Wow.
Like, she wasn't working with the trainer, she was just a member of the club. She was just, you know, still just coming in, walking on the treadmill. I asked her about her diet, she's like, I haven't changed anything else, but she got rid of the Coke, and she lost 16 pounds in 3 weeks, just over that. I mean, the sugar and the calories that came from it. So, for a trainer, I never make those promises, because you just don't know what someone is doing, you know,
right.
Like, people swear up and down. Like, I had a client one time say to me, and this was interesting, he had a surgery, you know, like a bypass surgery, and with that, it's one of those things where, you know, typically weight loss comes pretty quickly, you know, after that, because
right.
The stomach is constricted and everything like that, and so he had lost a few pounds, but then, you know, he kind of plateaued there. So I said, I'm like, what's going on here, you know? We gotta, you know, the weight should be coming off. It's like, I'm telling you, I'm only eating what, you know, what I'm told to eat. I'm like, something is off here. Let's start yesterday. What did you have yesterday? Well, I just had, you know, I had a box of strawberries. I was like,
right.
Strawberries don't usually come in boxes. So what kind of strawberries were these? Well, they were chocolate covered strawberries.
Yes.
You know, like, and it's like, you know, like, you know, we got to get down to the root of the thing.
Right. Like someone's lying, and it's not me.
Right. We just got to be honest with ourselves.
Right, exactly.
If you really want this to happen,
right,
the trainer can help and guide you there. But at the end of the day, there's only so much that they can do. So
right.
if a trainer's promising this to you, take a step back, you know?
Sure, sure.
And you've got to also be realistic in your expectations.
You hear that, Scott? Stay off the coke and the strawberries. I'm
talking
this now for a moment.
Chocolate covered
strawberries.
Chocolate covered
strawberries,
right.
Down with a jolt cold. So, Alex.
Yes.
What would you say would be the number one reason why people either don't get personally trained, or should look out for? Number one. I know you gave those three excellent examples. Is there one that really just stands out, like that was just initially obvious one that maybe we're missing?
I can split it up this way. There are a lot of guys who don't get personal training because they think it's unmasculine, or they think that it's only for women. Guys tend to be macho, or at least have these macho attitudes. And, you know, back in high school and college, you know, like, if you were playing a sport or something of that nature, you were lifting as part of a team, and,
sure,
you know, you had your coach and everything like that, but, you know, you had that framework and that structure there. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, in this area here, you know, I deal with a lot of people who are baby boomers, who have really focused on business, they've really focused on family, you know, and so they've, you know, reached a certain level of affluence, but the fitness has been put to the side. But then, for whatever reason, asking help to, you know, to work with a trainer, then it's almost, you know, thought of as being unmasculine or something that. No, I should be able to go in and do that.
Like a step down.
Like a failure or something that, you know. And so I always just say, like, look, it's not a failure. It's just knowing what, you know, your weaknesses is, as far as, like, if that's something you don't have knowledge in, well, you go to someone who does have the knowledge.
Absolutely,
I mean, it's simple, you know.
Right.
So I would probably say that's one of the biggest things, thinking that it's unmasculine, you know. And then for women, I mean, women actually tend to be very, very open with training. I mean, like, they're receptive to it, you know. Like, with a lot of our female clients, they're open to it. They listen to their trainers, male or female, like, and they're open to, you know, the change. The biggest thing on both ends is just the honesty of, as far as, like, what you're doing at home outside of the training.
It sounds a lot like, this parallels the financial world a lot, I would think. Like, people have to be willing to be honest with their about their finances with you, Scott, so that you can help them. That's one of the reasons why we're having Alex on today, just to show the different industries. It really all comes down to the basics.
Yeah, it comes down to someone who's been in the industry for a while,
right,
and is willing to tell you as we look behind the curtain and people come out telling you who we're up front.
So you want to find someone who's doing good in their area of expertise and get them to teach what they know. With health and fitness, as far as Alex goes, you know, Alex's name of his company is PTS Health and Fitness. What does PTS stand for?
Personal Training Studios.
Oh, look at you. You worked that in. It's the best fit.
Yeah.
That's not the one that's called the best fit. PTS absolutely.
You see the back of the
car? Oh, look at this. I'm going to say that's a female.
Yes.
Okay. There's a female derriere on the back of his car in a tight pair of tight jeans, standing in front of a rack of barbells, and their catchphrase, very, very clever: we specialize in making every pair of jeans your favorite pair. How cool is that?
What's
and that's why Scott was here.
That line, your jeans are going to want to wear you.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Your jeans are
going
to want to wear you. If you'd like to find out more information about PTS, you can go right onto their website at www.ptsprinceton.com. And you're located in Skillman, New Jersey.
Yes.
In the Village Shopper, 1340, Route 206. Or if you're anywhere near Skillman, New Jersey, or you're just passing through, hey, drop Alex a line over at the 609-252-1117. That's 609-252-1117. Alex, obey. It has been a pleasure, my man.
Frank, I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure as well, too.
Oh, well, thank you.
Christina, really nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Scott, thank you very much.
Hey, real quick thing. Understand this. You have to understand this, listeners. The Practical Guy Podcast, we are here to educate, to entertain you, but most importantly, to get you to a place where you can take control over your finances. That's what Practical is all about, right, Scott?
That's right.
Money management for your street, not Wall Street.
Right. Not Wall Street.
Not Wall Street. But check this out. If you have a phone, if you're handy, if you have a red light and you want to make a quick phone call, or just pull over, dial the Practical Guy up at 1-877, this is toll free, 451-4141. That's 1-877-451-4141. Leave us some reviews on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio. You can even email us at practicalguy.com with any of your questions, comments, just reviews, testimonials, anything like that. Remember, the Practical Guy, money management for your street,
not Wall Street.
Let's get ready to practical!
Follow The Practical Guy on Twitter at The Practical Guy. Like The Practical Guy Facebook page. Subscribe to The Practical Guy YouTube channel and visit PracticalGuy.com. This podcast is a River City eMarketing production, so be sure to also visit RiverCityEMarketing.com today. The Practical Guy. Money management for your street, not Wall Street.